Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, I want to read you something funny. We got a kick out of this in first service today. And it was, questions that were asked to preschool age children. So how many know? You know you're going to get some good answers. And the question, different questions. The first question is, why did God make mothers? Answer, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. And then it says, how did God make mothers? He made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. This is a good one. How did your mom meet your dad? Mom was working in a store and dad was shoplifting. And then, okay, let's do a couple more. What does your mom do in her spare time? To hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. And then describe the world's greatest mom. The greatest mom in the world wouldn't make me kiss my fat aunts. And then, remember, these are preschoolers. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of surgery. Oh, that's a good one. You need some kind of surgery. But anyway, and then here's a good one, just a heart-touching one, not necessarily funny, but it's just very touching, and I'm sure lots of us in here would feel the same way about this. There were four clergymen who were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it is more literal and comes nearer to the Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked Moffat's translation best because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, "I like my mother's translation best." The other three expressed surprise. They did not know that his mother had translated the Bible. "Yes, she did," he replied. "She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." And that's sweet. May we all be that kind of mom, right? But, you know, as we're getting ready to celebrate Mother's Day, and I just want to encourage everyone to honor your mom. The Bible tells us to honor our mother and father. And so regardless of the type of mom you have or what your relationship is with them, it's really not about that. It's about obeying what God told us to do. And he said that we are to honor our moms. And so I just encourage you that use today to be the day that you reach out across if there's maybe discord or problems, which happens in families. How many know there's no such thing as a perfect family? Every family has a little crazy in it. Don't look around, but every family does, you know. And so let today be the day, Mother's Day, that maybe you just reach out and say, you know, "Hey, Mom, I love you." And because for those of us who've lost our moms, I'll tell you, I was reading one of my friends whose mom went on to be with the Lord as well, and she wrote on her Facebook, she said, "What I would give for just one more moment," you know, and that's true. What we would give for just one more day or one more conversation. And so if your mom is still here, take it from people who know. Take advantage of that one more phone call that you can make today, that one more lunch you could take her out to. And just remember that moms are not perfect. No such thing as a perfect mom. Some moms come close, but no mom is perfect. And maybe your mom had some hang-ups and hiccups, but the Bible still tells us to honor her. Amen? Amen. You know, I think it's interesting when Jesus was on the cross that after he had experienced the crucifixion, he was near death. And one of the last things that Jesus did was to make sure that his mother was taken care of. What did he say? He looked to John and he said, John, this is your mother. John, this is now your mother. To his mother, he said, this is now your son. He was saying, listen, you got to take care of my mom. And that really shows the importance of our moms in our lives. For Jesus, in his last moments, not last hours, in his last minutes of life, he made sure that his mom was taken care of. And he asked John to take the role of son to her. And you know, in life, there are roles that people play. There are roles that people play, whether they're mother, father, aunt, grandmother. You know, I'm very fortunate because in life, sometimes that role is not met. And a lot of people are living their lives and someone is not playing the role they're supposed to play. Maybe it's because they're distant. And, you know, like I was going to say, I'm very fortunate because Devon and Vilya are here, but their parents aren't here. And so their kids don't have grandparents that are close by. And so I'm very fortunate because they've allowed myself and Scott to fill that role. They have grandparents, but they're not around the corner down the street. And so they've allowed us to fill that role, and what a joy that is for us, you know, to take them places. And the looks we get when they run up and call us Mama and Papa, we get some looks, you know, like, what's going on there? We don't care. It doesn't matter. But, you know, in life, there are roles that people play, just like in a play that you have. Now, here at BBC, we've got some pretty good actors and actresses here at Believer's Victory. And we've done a lot of fun plays. And how many remember a few years ago, we did one called The Guest That Never Leaves? And I happened to have been in that one. I had my debut starring role. It was my opportunity to be discovered. Nobody discovered me, but anyway, you know. But I was in it. I had my role. And so it was all about, Pastor Scott and I were there, and there was a person that came over to our house, and it was through Christmas, and it was the guest that never left. They never left. It was lots of fun. But in that, everyone has a part to play, a role to play. And so in our production, our magnificent production that we did, that was Oscar worthy, in my opinion. It is Mother's Day. Come on.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, so I remember at one point during the play, you know, I mean, I've got my lines. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm serious about this. You know, I'm a thespian. I'm serious about it. I can't even say it. And so anyway, so I got my role. I've got my line. I'm ready to say it. But it wasn't my turn. It was the guest that never left. It was his turn. And as he's sitting there, he is not saying his line. And so it shuts everything down. See, when someone doesn't fill the role, it affects everything. It affects everybody. And so we're sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I'm looking at him, and, you know, it's like in that moment you're trying to just, everything in you is willing the person, say the line, you know? You can't say it out loud, but you're just giving them that look like, it's your turn, you know? And then I realize he's forgotten his line. So then in that moment, you know, with everything in me, I'm trying to, you know, all right, this is the moment. This is it. I'm going to be able to give telepathy. I'm going to be able to tell him what this is, you know? You know, nothing happens. And then, so we're all waiting, and there's just dead space in the play, and, you know, that's not good. And everyone's on edge, you know, because a line, a role needs to be played. But it's not being played. So then finally, I think we just ran over it, or, you know, and we got back on course a little bit later. But, you know, that's how life is. There are roles that are supposed to be played in your life. The role of mother, the role of father, the role of Jesus. And unfortunately, in the society that we live in, there's a lot of people who their parents are not playing those roles. There's no mother in their life. There's no father in their life. There's no mentor in their life. There's no one there. And, you know, and there's a lot of mothers like Mary at the cross. She's got nobody to take care of her. And, you know, I'm sure if we thought about it, there's a lot of Marys that we can see in our lives, who people who are older, who maybe don't have kids or don't have anyone to take care of them. And you know what Jesus is saying to us? He's saying, hey, somebody, you need to take care of them. You need to fill that role. How many have ever met somebody and, you know, they're a little bit older and there's just some things that they should know You learn them as you are raised, but they don't know them. They don't know some stuff. You want to look at them and say, listen, you need to go back and get raised. Because you don't know some stuff that by now you need to know. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Is that their fault? Somebody didn't fill that role in their life. And you know what? It's because of lots of different things. But I believe that God wants to raise up people just like you and just like me. He wants to raise us up to fill those roles in people's lives. Because everybody needs the wisdom of a mother. Everybody needs the guidance of a father. Everybody needs that security of knowing that there is somebody that loves me like no one else. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs a grandma who will say yes to almost anything. Amen? Everybody needs that. But in our world, because of the enemy and his desire to destroy the family, his desire to destroy the family unit, a lot of people are in this world and they are hurting and they are lost and they are looking. They're like I was in that play. They're just waiting for somebody to say their line. You know what? God wants to use us to speak those lines into people's lives, to speak that love into their life, to speak that direction, to speak that guidance, to speak that maturity of, there's some things that you only learn through growing up. Amen? And you know, it's our job, even if they don't want to listen, to teach the next generation that there are just some things that wisdom comes with age. And a lot of young people are like, I don't need that. You do. You do need it, just like we needed it. And so I want to talk to everybody here today, whether you're a mom or not a mom, today we're all going to be mom. So look at your neighbor, no matter what they look like, whether they're a guy, a girl, whatever, and just say, hey, mom. Some of you are like, that's too weird. I can't do it. I can't do it. Hey, mom. All right, now don't say it anymore because you're going to make the person uncomfortable. If it's already too late. You know, they're like, I'm out of here. But, you know, there are some things that God wants to use us to give that wisdom of mom to some people. I'm going to give you five basic things that really everybody needs to know. You know, there are some things that really your parents are supposed to teach you. But sometimes, because of busyness, or maybe they don't know, or maybe because something is taking them out of that role of parent, somebody else has got to step in and say, hey, you need to know a couple of things. You need to know a couple of things. I remember one time a young person had their car, and they were driving their car, and, well, I won't use that. I'll use a different example. I remember Lori coming in. And, you know, Lori struggled with her car, and so one day her car's making all this noise, and I'm like, your car doesn't have oil in it. She's like, how do you know that? I'm like, my dad told me. When your car makes this noise, it's bad, right? And, you know, there's just some things that dad tells you. And another young person, they're driving their car, and it overheated, and they kept driving it. And I said, didn't your dad tell you when your car overheats, you turn it off immediately? I mean, that's like dad 101, right? You know? I mean, in my house, my dad was like, you change your oil, you do this, blah, blah, blah. You got it? Yeah, I got it. You know? But there's just some things. And so I said, I go, didn't your dad tell you that? And they're like, no, my dad never told me that. And so there are some things that we haven't heard that we need to know. We need to know some stuff. And you know what? Whatever the reason is, whatever's, you know, we know the enemy's behind it, but there are lots of people who don't know these five basic things. And so if you're a mom in here today, these are five things, man, you need to make sure your kid knows. And you know what? If you're not a mom, maybe whoever you are, and you see people in your life, people in your circle, whether you work with them, you live by them, you shop with them, whatever, and you recognize in their life that they don't have these five basic things, hello, mom, you need to tell them. You need to be mom and say, hey, there's some stuff you need to know. And you know what? As one thing about moms is that they're usually right. All the moms say amen.
Amen.
One thing you find as you get older is your mom was right about a lot more stuff than you gave her credit for. You know, I'm still finding that out. I'm 46, and when we get around and we talk about my mom, we laugh and say, man, mom was right about a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'm going to tell you about one of my mothers. Before we get into the serious part of the message, one of my mother's most incredible, one of her shining moments of her life, one of her favorite moments of life. You guys want to hear what it was?
Yes.
My mother would often say things, and we often thought she was crazy. That's just the truth. I mean, she would just say the most off-the-wall stuff, and we would just look at her like, and you probably have looked at your mother like this, like, you know, you don't say it, but on the inside you're thinking, that's crazy. That's crazy. I have learned that a lot of those times my mother was right. And so one of the times is my mom would tell us, she had this dog, their dog's name was Wrinkles. Very, very original name because he was a Shar Pei and he was wrinkly. And so my mom said, Wrinkles is getting on the dining room table. And so all of us, my brother, my dad, my sister-in-law, my nephews, my other brother, my sister, were all like, Mom, Wrinkles is not getting on the table. He is too small to get on the table. He cannot jump on the table. There's no way he's getting on the table. For days, my mother would say, that dog is getting on the table. And we would say, Mom, that's crazy. And then one day, we walked into the house, and we smelled something. So we're like, Wrinkles, looking all over, trying to find out where he had done, what he had done. And my mom was a florist, and she always had big green things everywhere. And then as we walked by the table, right there in the middle of the dining room table. And my mother had one of her greatest moments of her life. She turned around to all of us, and she looked at us, and she said, I was right! And you know what? We had to say, you're not crazy, Mom. You are right. And so she would always bring that back to us. She goes, you remember, I was right about that. There was proof. She was right. And so you know what? Maybe some things your mom has told you isn't so crazy after all. Right? It might be right. All the moms are like, that's right. All right, let's see. Five things that everybody needs to know. You guys ready? Number one thing is we got to know Jesus. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter what else you know. You can be the most educated person in the world. You can have all the money in the world. But if you don't know Jesus, you're always going to have a hole in your bucket. And no matter what you put in that bucket, without Jesus, it's just going to run right through. It's not going to do what you need done. It's not going to fill the void on the inside of you. It's not going to give you the peace that passes understanding. It's not going to give you your way to the Father. And you'll always feel like you're missing something without Jesus. Number one thing as a parent that we need to train our children in and teach them is you got to know Jesus. Come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because without him, the Bible says, and it's true, nothing else matters. What does it matter how much you have if you're on your way to hell? What does it matter who you know if you have no peace? What does it matter? Nothing matters without Jesus. And so number one thing that we got to be mom about, you know, and sometimes moms can just be on something, and there's five things we need to be on, is, hey, Jesus is important. Amen? He's the most important thing. Without him, nothing else matters. Amen. No guy is going to help you out. No woman is going to fill the void in your life. No amount of money, no job. Nothing is going to do what only Jesus can. You got to have Jesus. Amen? And the Bible tells us over here in John chapter 3, verse number 3, it says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in Romans 10:8-10, it tells us how to receive him. It says, well, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here we go, listen. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, people make stuff complicated. They make it difficult. They try to make you think you got to clean up before you can walk into Jesus, but none of that is true. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, whoever, who's a whoever? You're a whoever. Whoever is like, who can come? Whoever. What does that mean? Anybody. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to clean up, straighten up, and get it all together, because you don't have the power to do that anyway. If you could do that on your own, we'd already do it. We need Jesus. And so quit letting the world lie to you and say you have to change or you have to be whatever before you come to Jesus. There's only one qualification to coming to Jesus, and that's being human. Looking around, I think we all qualify. Some of you are iffy, but we're going to let you in. We're going to let you in. The Bible says, all who are weary and heavy laden, who does that describe? Everybody. Everybody. Jesus said, come, and I will give you rest. We just got to be mom to people and say, hey, you know you need Jesus. Come on in. Amen? Come on in. Come on in. Number two thing we got to make sure people know is we got to help them grow in their faith. Because how many have learned that God's not moved by your tears? If it was true, all of our lives would be different. If God was moved by tears, we're all faith giants, right? We can all move mountains, but God's not moved by that. God moves by faith. And so we've got to take the time to teach people in our lives to be mom and say, hey, let me teach you something that's going to change your life. Let me teach you something that's going to help you in the darkest hours of your life. Let me teach you something you need to know. Let me teach you about faith. And you know what? We can sum up faith in one verse, and that's Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many know what the word impossible means? Anybody? It's not a trick question. It means not possible. And so if something is not possible, how many know it's not going to happen? No matter what you do, it's not going to happen. And so the Bible says it is impossible to please God without this one thing. Now, if you're a parent in here today, how many want your kids to have the one thing you need to please God? You want them to have it. How many know a coworker who needs that one thing? A family member who needs that one thing? We need to be mom and say, listen, there's something you need to know. There's something you need to know. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And here we can sum faith up right here. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so to be in faith, the Bible says that I got to come to God and I got to believe that he is. And so the next question usually when we're new to the thing is, he is what? He is a rewarder. You can't go to God thinking he is a withholder, that he is a grudge keeper. He is a rewarder. Let's teach people that when they go to God, he is a giver. He is a lover. He is merciful. He is kind. He wants to reward you. He wants to give you what you need. That's faith. But we got to teach people that, because you know what? I don't know about you, but I know a whole lot of people that are hesitant to go to God because they don't know what's going to happen. They're hesitant to go to him because they don't know. They don't know. And so we got to be mom and say, listen, God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. God is. He is. He is what you need. Amen? It's like the song that we sang today, the great I am. I remember when I first came into the things of God, I would be like, I am what? Where's the rest? Where's the rest of the sentence? And then as I learned about God, he began to fill the rest of that sentence for me. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my Restorer. The great I am. He is everything we need. Amen. The Bible says he is the Alpha and the Omega. And you know what? He is everything in between. Whether you realize it or not, he is what you're looking for. Amen? He is what you need. And he is able and wants to. That's what we got to learn. He is a rewarder. He wants to help you because he loves you. How many know some people that need to know that? God loves you and wants to help you. And so, all right, let's go. Let's keep going. I ran way over in first service. Can't do it this time. Next thing, we got to teach our kids. Amen. We got to be mom about. These are five things everybody needs to know. You need to know Jesus. Amen. You got to know Jesus. You need to know faith. You need to know. And number three, you're not going to be super excited about this, but I'll tell you what, this is a life lesson. We need to teach people to submit to authority. Woo! Hallelujah! You know, the hair in the back of your head just went up, and you're like, submit to who? You know? But let me tell you something. How many believe that life would work better when God says no? The quicker we respond to that no, the better. Right? Because the quicker we respond to that no, the less time we waste, the less heartache we have, the less cleanup there is, the less mess there is. Because I don't know about you, but I've heard God say no way back there, and I've just kept going. And then it's always hurt, it's always pain, I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time, I'm always, you know, it's always a mess. You know what happened? I didn't respond to the authority in my life the way I should have. When God says no, the faster we listen, the better. But you know where that is learned? It's learned at home. How many times have I been somewhere and somebody telling me the story about what happened on their job? Well, I lost this job, and they tell me this whole story, and on the inside I'm thinking, you lost that job because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. You lost that job because you didn't respect the boss that you had. You don't have to like somebody to respect them in an authority position. The Bible says submit to authority. And so many people's problems are because they can't submit to authority. You say, well, blah, 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 blah. Well, move on then and keep repeating the same pattern over and over again and never get ahead and never get what you want in life because you can't learn to keep your mouth shut. It's up to you. But as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? You know, how's that working for you? We have a problem with authority in our society. But you know what? We're not talking about politics and all of that. We're talking about learning to respond to the authority of God this morning. Let's just learn to respond to his authority. When he says no, let's train our children that no means no. And no is enough explanation. Amen? No is enough of an explanation. Because sometimes that's all God will tell you. And so no is good. So you're not real excited about this, and we're going to move right along. We're just going to keep going. Because, you know, I mean, I can see it. I know it. But you know what? I pray that you learn this lesson. I pray that you learn this lesson, and I pray that you teach your children this lesson. Amen. One of the greatest things you can teach your children is how to respect a no. Amen? Because how many have gotten some no's in life? How many have seen people respond to a no very poorly, and it cost them greatly? You know? I've met one. I've been one. And so it's a great lesson that needs to be learned. How to respect authority and submit to it. And you know what? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Learning to obey begins at home. Begins at home. You say, well, I'm really struggling with my kids. That's why you've got the great I Am to help you. Amen? You've got the Holy Spirit, who is wisdom, to guide you and lead you and help you to teach your children and teach those around us that it is wisdom to respond to authority correctly. Amen? All right, let's keep going. All right, number four thing. These are just five basic things everybody needs to know. Teach your kids to guard their heart. How many know it matters what you let in? It matters what you let in. When talking about what we read, what we look at, what we listen to. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 4:23 is such a powerful verse. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You need to ask yourself, what's springing out of you? If nothing good is springing out, it's because you've let stuff in there that shouldn't be in there. Or you know what? If you're just coming into the things of God, you know what might be inside there? Maybe you've heard a bunch of junk like, you're worthless, you're never going to make it, you were a mistake, I don't know why I had you in the first place, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe that's what's on the inside of you. And you know what it's time for you to do? It's time for you to do like what they do on HGTV, just do a total makeover. Just make over what's in there. And you know how you do that? You switch what's in there for the good stuff. You know what the good stuff is? The Word of God. That you are a child of God. That God loves you and cares about you. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are the head and not the tail. That God made you perfectly and complete. That is the truth. But sometimes we got to do a makeover and say, you know what? I got some stuff in here that's just, I don't like what's springing. I don't like what's springing out of me. So I'm going to change it because the Bible says, out of my heart spring the issues of life. And so let's watch what's going in there. Let's teach our kids that just because it's on doesn't mean it's a good idea to watch it. Amen?
Amen.
Just because it's cool doesn't mean it's for me. Amen? Let's let people know that it matters what you let in. Because what you let in affects you, whether you want to admit that or not. People are saying, oh, it doesn't bother me. Well, God's wrong then, because he said to watch what you let in. So let's be careful and let's teach our young people, hey, it matters what you watch. It matters what you look at. It matters what words you let stay in you. And let's flip the coin and let's remember, it matters what we say. It matters what you say, Mom. Your words are powerful. It matters what you say, Dad. Your words can make and break. Let's switcheroo and say, you know what, let's stop saying what they're not, and let's remind them what they are. Yeah. Amen? You're a child of God. You might be going through a hard time, but God is in you, and God is for you. Amen? That's some good stuff. All right, and last thing, let's teach our kids how to pray. Let's teach them how to pray, because you know what, Mom? One day you're not going to be there, and they're going to need to pray. Or one day they're not going to listen to you. And they're not going to care what you have to say. They're not going to call you when they have the problem. And let's make sure it's already in them and so they know, hey, it's come to that. I got to pray about this. Because life works better when you pray. Everything is better when you pray. Everything is. And so let's read a couple of scriptures here. In Philippians 4:6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what? God wants you to bring what's going on in your life to him. He wants you to bring it to him. And then 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, say according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You say, well, how do I know if it's his will? His will is right here. It's right here. Go to the Word and make sure that what you're doing and where you're headed, you know, it lines up with the Word of God. And then lastly, last verse here, and I know this applies to some people in here. I know it does. In John 16, 24, it says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. You know what? There are all kind of believers who go around without the help of God, without using the power of his name. Jesus gave us the power of his name to pray in that authority. When I go to God and pray, when I go to the throne of grace, I don't go based on me, on Peggy. You know what I go in? I go based on the name of Jesus. I go in his authority. I go in what he has done. And you know what? That makes it a whole lot easier. Because me by myself, I don't measure up and I don't deserve a thing. But I go in the name of Jesus and I get what he deserves. I get what he's made available. And you know what? There's so many people in here, you're not asking anything. You haven't made one request. You're living your life prayerless. And you're wondering why stuff isn't working. This verse is for you. Let's change that. Amen? Let's change that. Let's learn how to pray. It says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. And then he says this, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to fill your life with joy. But the thing about God is, You got to do it His way. You got to do it His way. And so just five things that everybody needs to know. We need to know Jesus. Amen? We need to know Him. We need to grow in faith, right? If you're here today and you've just got born again, take the time to learn the things of God. We need to grow in faith. And you know what? We got to learn to listen to God. We got to submit to the authority of God. He knows a thing or two about a thing or two, don't you think? He knows a lot. He knows everything. And the Bible says that He is Jehovah Jireh. That's one of His names. And His name tells what He does and who He is in your life. And that means that He sees ahead and He provides. So if we're going to ask anybody or get help for our life, wouldn't it be smart to get the one who can see ahead and know what's coming? Yeah. That's what God wants to do. But we got to listen to Him. We got to learn to submit to the authority of God. And then we've got to guard our hearts. Let's quit letting junk in. We're too good for junk. Amen. Amen? You're too good for junk. There's some things, some gossip and talk and thinking, you just need to look at it and say, you know what? I'm too good for that. That is beneath me. I'm a child of God. Amen? Yeah. And then last thing, let's make sure we know how to pray. Let's make sure we know how to pray, because that's how things get done. They get done with prayers of faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You today that, Lord, wherever we are on our spiritual journey, maybe as I said these five things that everybody already knew them, but maybe there's somebody here today and this is new to them and they're saying, you know, I need to learn those things. Lord, I pray for that person that You would help them to find knowledge and understanding through Your word. Lord, maybe there's someone here today and as we began, and the number one thing we talked about was knowing Jesus. And as they heard that, they thought, I don't know Him. And so if there's anyone here today, and as we were talking about knowing Jesus, calling on His name for salvation, and you're here and you say, I need that. There's a hole in my bucket. No matter what I do in life, I always feel like something's missing. And today I found out who it was. It's Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want Him to be part of my life. I want to open up my life to Him. I want to give Him all of me, my hang-ups, hiccups, all my screw-ups. I want to give all that to Him so that He will forgive me, empower me, and make the way for me to go to heaven. If that's you and nobody looking around out of respect for people, and you say, you know what, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Him, and I want to give my life to Him today. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I need Jesus. Anybody like that? Oh, we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and, you know, you say, Peggy, I've been there and done that. But today I want to recommit my life. I want a fresh start with God. I've kind of been doing my own thing, but today I want to recommit my life to Him. I want a fresh start. If you're here today and you say, Peggy, that's me. I just want a fresh start for God. I want a do-over. I want a fresh start. Anybody like that before I move on? I see your hand. Anybody else? See your hand? For the sake of those who raise their hands, these guys over here, let's just pray. You know, I say this all the time, and it will never not be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God, but He's always one step back. And so for those who are taking that step back today, making a fresh commitment to God, let's say this prayer together with them as a family. Say, Father God, right now, I repent. I turn away from a life without You. I turn to You. I recognize You as my Lord and my Savior. You are my Lord. You lead and guide my life, and I will follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Oh, thank God. Aren't you glad you can always just go right back to God? He's so good. He's so good. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. He's not interested in what you've done. He's interested in what you just did. You came back home, and that's what matters. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural offering this morning. Who's ready for that?
Yeah.